All right. Well, I have a couple things to mention here. How many of you remember, it was a long time ago, I'm going to say it was like 13 to 15 years ago, we showed something called the Truth Project on Wednesday nights. Anybody remember that? The Truth Project. Okay? Are all of you being sincere? Thank you. I thought more of you than that saw it. We had a lot of people see it back then. It's about a biblical world view is what it's about. And it's that doesn't sound fantastic. I will tell you, this is one of the best teachings I've ever heard. And it's wonderful. And it's a series. It's a video series. And we're going to start showing that this Wednesday night. And we're going to start at not 7, but 6:45. Okay? Everybody say with me, 6:45. Doesn't that just roll off your tongue? 6:45. Yes. So we'll still do a little bit of worship pray over our prayer cards, that kind of a thing. We don't want to miss that. That's why we're starting a little bit early. The videos last about an hour, so you'll still get out of here at the same time. But I encourage you. It was very apropos, so to say, back then. It really hit our world and what the world was going through and our culture, what we were going through back then. Today, it's double. And what you're going to hear when you come to this is going to help you. It's going to solidify your faith if you need that more, and most of us do, just to help. You know, what I see around me in culture just is not right. And you're going to hear, you're going to see from the Bible, from some wonderful teachers, you're going to hear and see the biblical worldview, and that's what makes sense. That's what makes absolute sense, and it's going to help us to deal with the culture in our day today. So that's Wednesday nights. At what time? Ha ha, some of you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I want to speak to you briefly about worship. You know, I thought about Labor Day weekend, and I thought, you know, what could we do kind of different today? You know, I knew some people would be gone. Thank you for being here today. And I love that. But I thought, let's do something a little different. So our focus today is on worship. And I'm going to give us just a little more teaching. And then it just so happens that this Sunday also we're doing so many baptisms, which is also an outstanding form of worship, especially for the people that are getting baptized today, because they are saying yes to Jesus. They are saying, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. They are following God with their life, their very life, and they're being obedient to what God has asked us to do, and that is to be baptized. So worship is something that to prize above everything else. You worship something. You're prizing it above everything else. You're to honor it as the king or the thing of highest importance and to act accordingly. Anything can be worshipped. And we've seen that in our world. If a guy absolutely loves his car, some of you love your cars. I know a few of you in here that love cars. Well, let's take it a little further. You invest thousands of dollars in it. You spend hours working on it to the exclusion of everything else. This is it. This is it in your life. This is more important than anything in your life. I would say you're worshiping that car if it's more important than everything else. If a woman spends all her time, let's just say, designing houses, designing rooms, workspaces, special events, to the exclusion of everything else. This is her focus. This, everything else comes second. Her focus is her career. I would say she's worshiping that career. She's prizing that above everything else. That is her prize, okay? Now, you know that black tie mousse cake at Olive Garden? Have any of you ever had that? It's very, very special. I cherish it, and I think about it a lot. But I'd say there's a few other things that I cherish a little more than that, and I especially cherish God more than that. So that wouldn't be considered worship, okay? True worship of God is when we love Him with all of our heart. We heard this from Tammy, all of our soul, our mind, and our strength. And it's when we prize God above everything else and we put Him first in our hearts. Now, we often think of worshiping God in music as we are today, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But it also has to do with how we live, okay? And so Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So worship is also how we behave. It's how we treat others in godly fashion. And it's certainly a way that we are worshiping God. We're showing Him how we love Him and how we worship Him by how we live. In fact, the old English word for worship comes from worth-ship. Worth-ship. So it's a little bit funny to say, but it is showing or displaying and expressing the worth of God. Of course, God's worth is infinite. True worship is a valuing or a treasuring of God above all things. His true worth. God's true worth. So this is what true worship was designed to do, to put the supreme worth of God on display. So I ask you this question today. How much is God worth to you? How much is He worth to you? How much does He mean to you? And there's another aspect of worship that I'd like to touch on. And in an article in the website, Love Worth Finding, there's a teaching on worship, and it gives two scriptures, and it compares the two. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, it won't be on the screen. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Then the other scripture is Matthew 15, 8, and 9. So one's Old Testament, one's New Testament. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And it makes it clear that worship is first and foremost about the heart. Jesus is speaking about the Pharisees here, and Pharisees were the religious sect of the day. They were the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, and they actually did some things right, but they aren't spoken of very well by Christ several times, and it's because what they did and what they said looked and sounded like worship, but they didn't truly love God from the heart. And the article continues to say, their actions and words didn't please God because they weren't motivated by love. This is why Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They looked good on the outside, but were dead on the inside. If we want to worship in a way that pleases the Lord, we need to start with our hearts. If we don't love God from our heart, then nothing else matters. All right, so whether it's our day-to-day living and our treatment of other people when we worship God by ourselves, hopefully you do that by yourself sometimes, express to God your love for Him, or when we gather like today to sing and worship, it's got to be from the heart. It has to be authentic. My favorite description of our worship is one when someone says it's authentic. It's real. It's not just good music. It's real. It's authentic. Now, we often get hung up on how somebody looks when they worship God in public. So when we're worshiping God in an authentic fashion, what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, I've been doing this a long time. I've been leading worship in the church for, a little over 35 years. I was trying to figure out exactly how long it's been. I've seen a lot of different types of denominations and gatherings. I've attended many other denominations, led worship in other denominations. Different churches have I led worship in, and too many for me to even remember. I've been guest worship leader several times at different types of churches, but you know, I was raised Catholic, so I know what that worship's like. Lutheran, Nazarene, Mennonite, Vineyard, and of course Assemblies of God. I've seen all different kinds of styles, and I've seen all different kinds of sincere people. So I have found that worshiping God in a gathering of believers can look different ways. And I'm just going to say some of it is your personality. That's just a fact. I've seen that. If you're a very reserved individual, and I know a lot of you here, and some of you are reserved, and that's in your everyday life, that's probably how your worship might look. It might look reserved, but you can be sincerely and authentically moved by God's Spirit and love and appreciate God, and you may stand very still, and you might express it in your own way, and that's fantastic. That's great. Now, if you're a demonstrative, maybe a little more emotional type of person, it'll look a little different than somebody who's more reserved. And this is just the type of person that God has made you to be. Now, personally, I can be reserved, quiet. I was told recently that I'm quiet. I don't think of myself as quiet, but I guess I can be that way. But I still feel passionate. Obviously, anybody who's been around me when I lead worship on the stage, sometimes I get excited. I got excited today. And I can jump around. Even at my old age, I love getting excited for worship. But I can also be very reserved. You know, I can be both to a certain extent. Now, I want to give us a few scriptures, mostly from the book of Psalms, that bring out different ways that we worship, okay? So Psalm 95:6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So at times we may kneel. Psalm 28:7 says, The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. Well, part of it is that we sing, like today. God has given us music to praise him. Psalm 96:9, Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. There are times that we tremble before the Lord in his awesomeness, his holiness. There are those times. Okay? Sometimes Psalm 71:23, My lips will shout for joy. When I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. We can shout like we did today. Psalm 63:3-4, Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. So we lift up our hands. Maybe you're not used to that. I remember the first time I saw people lifting up their hands, and I thought, they think somebody is listening. They actually think someone is listening to them. That was before I knew Christ. Okay. Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So there are times the reverence and awe is so great. Sometimes it's you're not jumping around. You're not, you know, jumping in place, whatever it is, waving your hands. You are absolutely, incredibly humbled and in awe of God. There are those times as well. So we bow down, we kneel, we sing, we tremble, we shout, we lift up our hands, we are filled with joy, we're filled with awe and reverence. There's also scriptures about weeping and dancing. We know that King David danced before the Lord, and I have, you know, as I mentioned, at times done that. The thing about dancing and moving around a lot is that you don't want to be a hindrance to other people who may not have that same type of, you know, exploring the space type of idea. We need to be respectful of other people in our own freedom in worship. I'm going to read 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says that David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. So I'm going to venture to say that David was outside, number one, in a procession where everybody's moving. They're bringing the ark of God back to Jerusalem, and it says that people are rejoicing, people are singing, and there's lots of space. And he's not bumping into people, causing a great distraction. Everybody's excited. The ark of the Lord is being brought back to Jerusalem. So I'm going to read a couple of other scriptures that have to do with what God expects. This is in our attitudes. So Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." So that applies to our worship as well, that we are to approach worship with humility. And that's also thinking about others, okay? And 1 Corinthians 14, 32 and 33 says, "The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets." That's saying that they're not out of control, that they have control over what they're saying and doing, okay? "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace," it says, "as in all the congregation of the Lord's people." So what I want to say about this is in our exuberance, in our passion, in our all-out praise and worship to God, and all of that, that God is a God of order. And we need to worship with humility and thinking about others as well so as not to be a distraction. We have control over what we do. We're not out of control. So as excited as you might be, you're not going to be out of control, okay? You still have your own choice. But in saying all that about respect and saying that about order, when it comes to worship, God loves it when you pour your heart out to Him in adoration. And it's going to look different ways. And remember, it's out of an authentic sense of humility and love and adoration to God. And sometimes the experiences in life, just those, cause us to worship. And I want to share something today. Many of you know, and to some of you this might be a little shocking if you don't know this, but our good friend that we love so very much, still love him, Scott House, who used to sit right back over there, one of the most energetic and lively, funny people I've ever met, God brought him home this week. And that was early in the week. So it's been difficult. He was a good friend of mine. He was a good friend of many others. I know that Steve and Terry Moore had a lot to do with him turning his life around. And there were many others of you who did the same. Doug Heinzen did the same. Many other people. And And as I went through the week, I have to say it was hard on me. I knew that Scott wasn't well for a long time. And any of you that knew him, he was in a lot of pain. He had been in a lot of pain for a lot of years. And that was his day-to-day life. Every time I saw him, he seemed to get a little more crooked. And then he'd have all kinds of other issues. So I knew he wasn't well. I just didn't expect him to die. And I don't know that anybody else did either. And so, just so you know, people have asked me how he passed away. All I know is I met with two of his daughters, and they said that a medical examiner just said that it was natural causes. So that's all I know. So he did pass away at home. And I grieved. Sometimes I feel like I don't have any emotion. Other times I feel like I'm a blubbering idiot. Sometimes certain things just hit me. And this really hit me. And I was in my backyard by myself, just grieving, asking God, you know, why do people have to die? I mean, I know why. I know it all. I know what the word says. But that's what I felt. Why? This is hard. This is hard. It's not just hard for me. It's hard for a lot of people. And I need to say that God, over the next hours and even the next day, just began to give me some clarification. And instead of being sad for myself and sad that I'm just not going to get to hear Scott again and hear his loud laughing voice, I began to look at his life, and I had the opportunity to meet with two of his daughters, and I'm not going to say a whole lot about that meeting. All I'm going to say is this. Scott did a lot of his life. He didn't do things well. He didn't do things well in his family. But I will tell you, his heart at the last few years, anybody that knew him, it broke his heart. And he so longed to reconnect. And I just began to see what God had done. And I was able to share that with his daughters. And I just need to tell you, they were so glad to hear it. And they were so glad to hear about how many of you loved their dad. And so there had been some healing that was going on. And I feel like that when they came from the Midwest, they flew out here, I began to see some healing. And I continue to pray for them. But the reason I'm sharing all this as I'm talking about worship is because sometimes in life, hard things, they're hard, but when we continue to seek the Lord, he begins to show us himself in it. And I began to see glory. I began to see that he had changed this man's life right in front of my eyes for 6 years. He was really rough. You guys remember when he first came. And he slowly, just the love of God began to overtake him. And you know what? He was never a perfect person. Neither am I. And neither are you. And so I began to praise the Lord. Say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you did in Scott's life. Thank you, Lord. You took something so rough, and you made something really beautiful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes the experiences in life cause us to worship. So today, we're going to sing some more, and if the worship team would come up, that'd be great. Though it can look different ways, and you all do it different ways, and I'm going to ask you, if somebody physically worships differently than you, that's okay. That's okay. We're all different. We're all different. So I'm just going to ask for the word grace from you For we all worship in different ways. My first encounter with kind of people that were really letting go. I was a guest worship leader at my worship team at another church. We were at a Vineyard church, and the first song we sang, a guy came running across the front, waving his arms and yelling at the top of his lungs all the way across, and just did circles. And a lot of my worship team were not very charismatic, and they were all looking at me like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, we're good. We had a powerful time of worship that night. Seen a lot of things. True worship is expressing to God how much he means to you. His worth. True worship is from the heart. And that heart needs to be a heart of humility. Okay? Worth-ship. How much is God worth to you? If it's a whole lot, then let him know by worshiping him in love, gratefulness, passion, and sincerity, authenticity. So we're going to worship some more, and we're going to have some baptisms, and it's going to be a great rest of the morning.